This Week in Survivor is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with a share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah! This Week in Survivor, episode number 13. Thank you to Will from America, one of the Mount Rushmore faces of This Week in Survivor history, as we are getting you ready for the final week before the finale of Survivor: The Edge of Extinction. Here with me once again to talk about it all and later on play the This Week in Survivor History quiz, the young Rick Devins, Jordan Kalish.
Yes, I am here. I am hopefully not as controversial on social media. Not that actual Rick Devins has been controversial, but there's controversy that has
polarizing
this whole season.
Polarizing.
It's the reaction to polarizing is the correct
certainly
word there, yes.
That not as polarizing, but still a polarizing figure.
Yeah, but I'm only the young Rick Devins, so I still have to like morph into the full polarizing version of myself.
Yes. Okay. This is the prequels. All right. Here joining us, I'm very excited to have this guest back with us. Always a joy for me to get the podcast with her. We talked to her in the preseason when we talked about David Wright, and now she is getting ready to kick off the summer of international Survivor coverage here on the Rob Has a Podcast network of podcasts. Here she is, all the way from Australia, the great Shannon Gates.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, I'm back with a vengeance for the This Week in Survivor history quiz. I mean, last time I did lose. You know, it wasn't a big margin, but I lost. But Jordan asked a lot of Survivor the Amazon and Survivor All-Star questions for people who don't remember. So I'm back to correct that incredibly unfair loss.
Okay. All right. Shannon, we're very excited for international Survivor coming up. Survivor South Africa is going to be kicking off next week. I think that's going to be dropping the day after the U.S. Survivor finale. And I know that you have a preview podcast of all of the characters from Survivor South Africa with Liana Boris up right now.
Yeah, we did that yesterday. We did a lot of social media stalking of the contestants because the bios were pretty short. So that's what most of the podcast is. I hope people find it helpful. But yeah, it's starting this week, and I broke on the podcast, but I can also say now it's going to be...
You breaking news?
Dun, 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 dun.
I feel like, did Survivor pay for them to have that music? Because they use it so often that I feel like they're trying to get the most use out of it.
I don't know if that music, we'd have to find out from somebody who is in the Rick Devins local market, if that is like some sort of a noise that opens up his broadcast, or if he has like come up with some public domain call sign.
Dun, 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 dun.
I hear Twitter loves it. So.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But go ahead. So break your news, Shannon.
All right. Well, the first thing is, while Australian Survivor is the sprint, Survivor South Africa is more the marathon. It will be 18 episodes, one a week, going till September 12th is the finale. So we'll be doing this for the next 4 months.
And this is September 12th?
Yeah. It's a really long time from now, Rob. It's longer than I can see ahead of me.
Are they skipping some weeks, or is that right? That's 18 weeks from now, September 12th.
I haven't done the math. It feels right that should be that.
Lily, that's a Jordan. Yes.
Yeah.
How many contestants?
About 18 weeks from now?
21 contestants, 18 episodes, Survivor South Africa. And Survivor South Africa is literally the bridge from Survivor 38 to Survivor 39.
And then there's Australian Survivor somewhere in the middle of it. But yeah, I mean, it's the day after the season ends. Another breaking news that I can do if Rick
dun,
wants
dun,
to.
Dun, 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 dun.
There it is. Mnet, who air the show, are going to be putting the first episode on YouTube, as I understand, for at least a couple of weeks. So everyone can check that out. And then we'll have some updates on what they're doing with the rest and how everyone can watch it. So it should be pretty easy, hopefully. And it should be really great. I mean, if anyone's ever heard me on a podcast, I've definitely spoken about how amazing the last season was. I podcast about it with Mike Bloom. We're going to have some really, really cool guests on, hopefully yourself, Rob, and, you know, some of the Survivor South Africa contestants, maybe even US Survivor and people from RHAP. So we're going to be having a lot of fun with Survivor, you know, before Survivor 39. You don't have to wait that long. And I really hope everyone will join us in that.
Right. And what's really fun about the international Survivor seasons is, you know, it's... As people who've watched a lot of U.S. Survivor season, sometimes we have a feeling about how the story is going based on what we're seeing, who's talking, and basically throw those conventions out the window when you're watching international Survivor. So it really is a different experience and one that is very fun and different from what we're used to with the U.S. editions of the show. And we always do keep track of those links of the international season pretty closely in the Rob's Podcast patron groups. So if anybody is tracking those down or is looking for those, that we have a spreadsheet that we end up getting those out to the patrons in the Facebook group when the international seasons of Survivor are going on. Okay, Shannon, let's get into where we are at. Days away from the Edge of Extinction finale, and I guess we need to start with your Gavin. Thoughts on Rick Devens at this hour.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to ask me about Rick. I didn't think we would be talking about Rick today. Yeah, my thoughts on Rick. this is now the Survivor question I feel about the whole season. I was talking to Liana Boris about this yesterday, and I kind of feel like in a season of hot takes, maybe the lukewarm takes are the hottest, because I kind of feel... Like
it's like a new Ryan Clark rule.
I haven't listened to the B&B, but maybe she used that. Yeah, I just kind of feel like I don't understand the extremity of opinion according to, you know, as it pertains to Rick himself. I really like him. The dad jokes really work for me. I mean, you can ask my fiance. That's a humor type that I enjoy. But I don't understand the what seems like, I guess, quite personal hatred towards him. That's pretty personal. I mean, I know that there are examples given, like, you know, he said the women weren't playing and he was kind of showboating at some of these tribal councils. It seems to have really, like, come before that even. Mm-hmm. And I still think that that might be mildly irritating, but I don't get why it's, like, I don't know, so annoying. I really don't think that pretty much any Survivor contestant... Okay, there are a few Survivor contestants, but most Survivor contestants, and especially none on this season, deserve, like, the level of, like, very personal dislike, I think, that is coming towards him. So I don't get that part. The part that is... People are annoyed with the way that he's playing the game now. Like, not the way he's playing the game, but the way that he might go on to win the game. I get how the annoyance with that. Like, I get the annoyance with the show making this way of winning not only a way of winning, which is fine, but, like, the way of winning. Like, if you look at the stats of some of the recent winners, assuming Rick goes on to win, and I think he would probably be odds-on favorite at the moment, but for Ben's immune from the final 7, Wendell from 6, Nick from 7, and then you've got Mike Holloway back at 9, and then there's, you know, other people throughout who've been safe with idols within that. I mean, Rob, Jenna ruined your game by going on immunity run at the final 4. And these
what?
People are immune from like 9, right?
Yeah.
So,
but
that's
I think we still need to see the end of the story in terms of we don't know how it's going to, like, does it change anything if it's a Rick win in the season, but it turns out that, okay, now the Edge of Extinction person comes back and wants to work with Rick, or that, it, you know, what if he survives a vote without being immune? Does that change that calculus for you?
It would make it better for sure. I mean, I think also because it would make the other players look worse, because if they look, they have a lot to deal with an Edge of Extinction person coming back who might be a bigger threat. I know that you and Steven were talking about who would be a bigger threat. That's a lot to deal with. If they let him get through one tribal council, then that would make me feel better about it.
Yeah.
But the way it's, you know, he has an idol. Obviously there's fire. So it's just that one tribal council, he'd be a pretty good odd to win immunity, obviously to find another idol, which they will 100% hide. So if that's the way it goes down, it's just like, it's too homogenous. I've seen the storyline and too much of anything is not what I want to see.
And also, I think that it's been a little bit different than Ben. It's like sort of the combination of Ben and Mike, where Mike pretty much only won immunities. I think he had one immunity idol along the way. And then Ben only had idols, didn't win an immunity along the way. Rick has sort of gone back and forth between the two. So to me, I mean, if he's winning immunity challenges, I mean, that's part of the game. And it has been since the very first season. And if Kelly Wigglesworth won the first Survivor season, I don't think that people would have said that, I hate these winners that are just win immunity every single time.
Yeah, and there are a lot of winners who have won. I mean, I don't think from like as far back as we're seeing, because Rick would have been immune from the final eight, but with two final sixes. So the final nine, I mean, that would be pretty rare to be immune the whole way through anyway. But there are winners who've won the last two or three challenges. And that's fine, because that was a rarity. You know, it was an interesting enough thing to see, I guess, every few seasons. But now it's like the way to win Survivor is to be immune every single time. Like for me, it's a show about voting people out and how do you not get voted out and the interesting ways to do that. And now there is one glaring way to do that. It's just, you can't be voted out. That's what you should do. For me, the really interesting things through Survivor history are Tony being vulnerable at Final Three and convincing Wu somehow to take him, or Natalie Anderson at Final Four. And it's like, why aren't you voting her out? And somehow it's between Missy and Keith. Like, that's the Survivor that I personally value. And I know that comes down to my value system in the game, the social strategic. I have a hunch it's the value system of a lot of the people who listen to this podcast and a lot of the people on Twitter, which might explain the reaction to that. So yeah, that's not a game that I'm super interested in watching, especially so repeatedly and like in such close proximity to each other, where, as I said, all the recent winners pretty much have that storyline. But I think that what Twitter is trying to say, most of Twitter at this point, is that there is a divide. There is being annoyed at that, which I think a lot of people are. Then there's liking or disliking Rick. And those two things are separate, and you just fall into either camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to make the whole podcast about this. We've talked about this enough across all of the shows. But, you know, it's good to sort of just like get the sense of where people are when we start to talk about this. I want to get your thoughts on Rick Devin's partner in crime, David Wright, who you went back and did a full deep dive, watched his seasons, listened to his podcast, and we really came up with the philosophy of David Wright coming into this game. Looked like things were going really well for a while. Ultimately, David Wright was a blindside to me, and then we haven't seen him since, Shannon. So what's going on with David?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was coming on the last podcast of the season, so I was just like, I know it was a high bar, but I was just so hoping David would still be in the game to talk about. Look, I said on the preseason podcast that he should talk about what a loyal ally he is and how he went to Rocks and how he plays idols on allies, and I think he might have hit that note a little too hard, but I'm glad that he went with it. Look, I think that David is one of the best non-winning players in Survivor, and the season did not detract from that. I mean, Millennials versus Gen X, I think for him, is an all-time game. The season wasn't up to that, like quite up to that. Obviously, it was very different structure for him and so difficult. Like the pre-merges David Wright has gone through in both seasons are so hard. Mm-hmm. And he had a horrible swaps throughout, horrible time at the merge in this season. So he's had a difficult run of it. I still think, you know, there was a lot of things across both of his seasons that just show his skills. Like, as we've said in the preseason podcast, that there would be times where he definitely should go home and you're wondering why in the hell he didn't. I think the Rick Devin's vote was a really good example of that, and he was doing that throughout this season. So I think it was a very different type of social game. Like in Millennials versus Gen X, he very much found his people. And in this, he had like connections with people. He was like almost like jumping from like rock to rock, just trying to get across the water. And he was using kind of varying connections to do it. Plus, he's really threatening and sneaky. So he was surviving things he absolutely shouldn't. I think he's got a really good read on the game, social game. You know, people just really do tend to like him. I don't know about Wardog, but besides that, I think he's got the social game on point. And like, I still think he played such a great game, even though it didn't go his way.
Do you think there's a chance David Wright will return to the game on a Wednesday night?
I would actually put him in my top two people I think could return, probably second behind Aubrey. I think whoever comes back is going straight out the door in like a revolving door fashion. I think my hottest take is that what I've had to contend with as a David Wright super fan after he got voted out has been that I now don't want him to win the season. And that's like, that's
why?
A very
because
thing
as
for me.
You don't want to root for a person who's been voted out?
Yeah, I don't want to have to root for like David getting voted out in the mid-merge. I don't want this to be his survivor story. Like if whoever comes back, if possible, from Edge of Extinction and wins the game, you know, maybe wins a couple of immunity challenges and wins the game, having not been on the show through the whole merge. Rick is, I think, a little bit different. Obviously he's been here through the whole merge and he was in the pre-merge. It's still not, he got voted out in the pre-merge. It's still not great, but it's better for me. Then missing the most important part of the game and then coming back at the end to win. I think I value like the values of the show too much to want anyone to do that. And from David Wright's perspective, I would much rather that he was considered one of the better or best non-winning players of all time than like the worst ever winner. So I've just had to contend with, like, I know he might disagree and that's fine, but I feel like it would overwhelm his legacy. And yeah, I've had to just believe that like, I would rather Gavin wins than David Wright at this point. And that's painful for me.
I mean, I think, Shannon, it's hard for me to say this too, because I'm such a big fan of someone like Aubrey or David Wright or Kelly Wentworth or some of the other new players that are on Extinction Island. But I think you're right. Missing part of this post-merge game really would take away from their win. And I think it would be potentially the most controversial thing that's ever happened on the show. The thing with Devins, I mean, yes, he's won. I think the controversy with him is more going to be the fact that, you know, he's had idols, he's won immunities down the stretch, and that's something that might turn off people who are fans of the strategy of the show. But him getting voted out pre-merge, he missed two votes, and it wasn't really that important of a time in the game, where he also got so badly screwed by that swap, where I really don't think him getting voted out there is going to be such a knock against him. I mean, obviously there are things that you can do if you get yourself in a bad swap situation, and he didn't do them, he got voted out, but I don't think it's as serious as someone who got voted out in the mid-merge or the early merge coming back to win.
I mean, I agree with you on every single part of that. Like, I also think that he was kind of screwed in the swap. He would never have thought that iteration of five players was going to be voting together, because he thought they were going to be swapped. And, you know, at least when they did get swapped, or maybe one vote later when they would have maybe taken out Wendy and then been swapped to other people. And I really think that Manu were just trying to keep super unified to go to an eventual swap that never happened. So I think he was screwed at that point. I think he was like, of anyone to come back in at that merge, I feel like he was the one who was like most unfairly, in quotation marks, voted out. But I think the one thing is, maybe you're not looking at the right parts of Twitter, because Peter, people will definitely be upset that he was voted out. It's definitely a massive, massive thing against him that people are doing. I agree. The idols and immunities and being immune from Final Nine is way worse to me than the fact that he kind of missed a couple of votes in the pre-merge. I mean, Karma missed all the votes in the pre-merge. They had it pretty easy. So,
all right, well, I wanted to talk about David Wright. We're good on Devins for...
Oh my God, we went back to Rick Devins.
Jordan Kalish brought us back to Rick Devins. But I wanted to ask you, what in your mind was David Wright's best move or moment in this season?
I really, really liked how he didn't go home with the Devins vote, and I don't know how he did that. What was his... Yeah, he... I feel like it wasn't maybe one move, but it was just surviving with a massive target on his back. Like, that's not something he was so used to. He became a target, like, around probably day 30 in Millennials versus Gen X, whereas he came in here... And the fact that he and Kelly, like, it was the summation of that entire pre-merge, that he and Kelly survived... Firstly, I mean, look what happened to Aubrey and Joe, but they survived the whole pre-merge and had so much power as they did. From what we were seeing at the beginning of the pre-merge, and I mean, I don't know how much is true, but it kind of looked like he and Kelly were at the top of the power structure. And like, how did that happen? You know, so I just think it's about surviving through that and having control through that, when he absolutely shouldn't have. He should have been gone. You know, they were saying he wasn't helpful in the challenges. He should have been gone super early.
In hindsight, though, was his biggest mistake, and, you know, I'll split this 50-50 between him and Kelly, although he was the first person that was talking about this on the show. We didn't hear Kelly talk about this until later. Was a failure to work well with Kelly Wentworth, or would you say that them fighting with each other was the only reason that they were able to survive the pre-merge?
I think that their relationship did work for them. It was kind of like part of both of those things. They could work together, but they weren't like a tight pair. I think if they were a tight pair, it probably wouldn't have looked good. So, I mean, I don't really know what the breakdown was in the Kelly thing. Maybe it was your podcast that you did with her. I feel like all the blame's probably on you.
I don't blame me.
No, Rob, I mean, I think when we hear from David Wright, he'll probably concretely be like, yeah, Rob, it's that podcast. I mean, he mentioned it in the preseason, so I mean, I don't know. I think that the hardest thing for me to watch with David this season was that where were his people? Like, it's so many points. It was like, why is his only real friend Rick Devens? And while he did have connections that helped him, it was just like, I just wanted him to find kind of like a group. So it's just odd watching him on the edge of extinction and just, is he in the game? Is he not in the game? I would kind of almost rather just be mourning it rather than be in this weird half-half place, but that's okay.
Okay.
It's hard to build a group when your pre-merge tribe goes to tribal council every single time.
Mm-hmm.
That is hard. I mean, he's had the worst luck with pre-merges, with swaps, and he's, I think, handled it really well. So always a David Wright stan, and when he comes back in the next season, I'll definitely want him to win again. It's just in this one particular situation that I feel conflicted.
Okay. Shannon, do you have any thoughts on how things are going to bear out on Wednesday night?
Well, as I said, I would think Aubrey's coming back if I had to be anyone from Edge of Extinction.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's my first pick. I feel like she got a lot. Obviously, she's Aubrey, so it makes sense. But she got a lot of edit for being just like a pre-merge boot. And I feel like a lot of the Edge of Extinction people have kind of had their story concluded on Edge of Extinction. Like, you never want anyone to be like talking about how they've grown personally and are like satisfied with their personal journey. Like, you can't win and have a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So once the edit's showing that they're fulfilled, that's bad. I feel
that's
like Aubrey's someone. Yeah, like Kelly Wentworth, you know, after she got voted out, the next episode she's on Edge of Extinction talking about how much she's learned about herself. And I was like, ugh, to me, this is the death knell in her story because she's coming to the end of it and she's learned her lesson and she's taken what she needs to from the game. And that's bad because you should need to win.
So you would say, Shannon, that the less we've seen of a person on the Edge of Extinction, the better their prospects are.
I think it's more just like what we've seen. If we've seen them be talking about their personal journey and how they're satisfied with, you know, what they've taken out of the game, that's bad. But if they're talking about, even David Wright had the episode after he got voted out, like he was talking about like getting back in and kind of like having that drive, that's better. You want them to be having momentum towards something rather than like concluding something.
Okay. All right. Jordan, do you have a pick for who's coming in on Wednesday?
My pick would be between David and Aubrey. I think even though we saw Aubrey get the advantage, I'm going to guess that David is coming back in. I'm just going all the way back to that scene where Devens and David were talking about being at the Final Four together, and maybe there was something prophetic
Ooh.
About that. So just going back to that scene, I think it could be David.
Yeah, I think that would be a really wild scenario if David Wright comes back into the game, yeah. Shannon.
Devens wins immunity, plays the idol on David at that tribal council. That could be crazy.
Would he do that? He would never do that. That would be really stupid.
Well, if he was immune and it's like the final, and it's the final five, the last time you could play it, maybe he would do it.
Okay, neat. But like, I really don't think the Devens and whoever comes back from the Edge of Extinction will both be there at the final five.
Right.
I guess unless the Edge of Extinction person wins immunity and Devens plays his idol.
That's
is what I'm trying to work out. Yeah.
I mean, if somebody came back into the game and was a hardcore Devens supporter to the point that they could potentially go to rocks with Devens and, you know, and not flip against whoever, if it was like Julie, it was that third person working with them, that would be formidable. And it would be crazy, though, for Devens to take David Wright to Final Four, where that David Wright has the reputation for being this expert fire maker, Shannon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're obviously very loyal to each other, but he said that he doesn't want to be super loyal to David because that's what got him voted out the first time. So I didn't see him doing that. And I don't see Julie going to rocks for them either. I feel like Julie is turning on Devens if and when he's ever not immune. But it's crazy now talking about someone coming back for the Edge of Extinction, because I know my winner pick was Joey Amazing. Rob, yours was Joey as well, right?
Yes.
Yes, and what we were predicting is literally exactly what's happened. We predicted he would get voted out and just come back and win. I don't think that will happen, but it's still, like, in play. Like, our exact prediction is actually happening as it should. Can you imagine how, like, now that we're watching it, that is so much crazier than when we could have predicted. At the time, it's like, they'll be out for a few weeks. Now that we've watched all the weeks play out, just imagine Joe coming back, having never got through one tribal council, winning a couple of challenges and winning the season. Like, the fact that that's a possibility is crazy.
Mm-hmm. You've said this, Rob, where it doesn't seem like his story, though.
It doesn't really feel like that this is Joe's season of Survivor. Shannon, it's going to be also super weird if the person comes back from the Edge Extinction and then is voted out at that same tribal council. Is that what happened with Andrea when she came back as the second person in the first Redemption Island?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And I definitely think that that would be what will happen here. Like, if they're not immune, I mean, I guess Devin's could be a shield, but that's so, so concerning for anyone in the game who they've been hanging out in the jury the entire time. Like, obviously, they're going to get all the votes. Yeah, I think that they'd be crazy to not vote them out immediately.
Yeah, she came back and she was like, hey, like, let's girls vote together. And Rob was like, hey, don't vote with her. And they just voted her right back out. So it could be anticlimactic.
Well, that's what usually happens. I mean, unless they win immunity like Ozzy, like they haven't made it to the end yet for Redemption Island. So,
well, I think that both Ozzy and Tina made it through one vote where Ozzy, I think, was immune. And I think that was I don't know if Tina was immune, but I think that Sierra got voted out before her. Right, Shannon? And then they felt like that Tina was less of a threat in the final four challenge.
Yeah, and Sierra had, like, just gone to rocks against them, so, like, no wonder they wanted to just vote her out quickly, because that's annoying.
Yeah. Okay. Shannon, this week we saw survivors get letters from their most loved ones, themselves.
War dog, probably. Yeah.
Yes. Did that bring a tear to your eye to watch the survivors get their letters from home, from themselves, from their own home?
Yeah, from their own home. Well, this was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I mean, was the show trying to troll Edge of Extinction, but they were so hungry for anything that they just ate it up? Like, letters from yourself, losers. And they were like, oh my God, that's so meaningful to me. Thank you. Like, Julia just starts immediately crying, which is why you spend so much time with yourself, only with yourself on the Edge of Extinction. Like, I cannot think of anyone I would rather hear from less than myself. I would rather hear from Julia than get a letter from myself. I mean, it was just so sad for them. And another thing I was thinking, and I wanted to ask you, Rob, this questionnaire that they were filling out, is this something that they do every season? Like, this is not something I've heard about.
This seems new to me. Maybe, you know, there's somebody who is listening that was on Survivor David versus Goliath or Ghost Island. It's like, no. Oh, we all fill out that questionnaire. Maybe it's their Survivor application. But this seems new to me, Shannon.
Yeah, because if I was a returnee who hadn't ever done this before, I would be like, why are they asking me to do this in the preseason? Like, that would terrify me. Doesn't that seem so foreboding? It's like, look, we want you to write a letter to yourself because you're going to be so destitute and desperate by the end of this game that you're going to freaking need it. Like, I would be like, why? Like, what fresh hell is in store for me on this season?
Yeah, what was the, on the parchment, I'm looking at the letterhead. It's, why am I here? Is like, that looks like question number one. I'm not sure if there's other questions that were there.
I noticed that Wardog also crossed that question out and wrote his own question.
Yes. what was that question that Wardog wrote?
I couldn't see the whole thing, but it was very long at it and now. It included the word Wardog. Yeah,
the problem is when you pause on CBS All Access, like, it shrinks it down to like a postage stamp when you pause. And I wish they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I as an Australian can't watch CBS All Access, but I imagine that it's amazing. Another thing in the segment, which I found really funny, was when they introduced that they were going to get the letters and Julia starts crying. Kelly's reaction is kind of like the awkward reaction I would expect. She just kept going, aw, over and over again. Like, aw, that's so nice. But it was just like, what are we doing? They're so desperate for anything. Like, I genuinely just don't understand why this would be an emotional thing for them.
I know elementary school teachers who do this, where they have like their kids write letters to themselves at the beginning of the school year, and like what they want to learn and what they want to accomplish by the end of the year. And I think in a school setting, it's actually a nice thing to do. But I just don't get it on Survivor, where you have adults that are playing a game. I don't know why they need to get these letters. Give them, if you're going to give them letters, then maybe have some sort of like, I don't know if we want to see an extra Edge of Extinction challenge, maybe put something you put on CBS All Access and you give, and the winner gets like a letter from home or something. I think that would be more interesting.
Well, let's see what the reaction was to learning about this twist. And, you know, it's kind of mean because I think they probably thought that, oh, this is it. We're going to go get our chance to get back in the game. Or maybe this is some sort of a reward for making it this long. But
it was a reward, Rob.
Yeah, it was a letter. here is Eric, who was the Postmaster General of the Edge of Extinction.
Special delivery.
What is that?
Team meeting.
What is that? Uh-oh, what's in the box?
Eric, oh my God, please.
I found this near the flagpole.
Every, like, Julia has, like, her arm around Reem. Like, this is it. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. It's here. It's here. Letters from ourself.
You have been pushed further than anticipated, and you have withstood the test.
It's like, all right, guys, this is it. This is the moment. We're getting back in the game.
This is the letter you wrote to yourself before the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Find a spot and remind yourself why you are here.
And it's like the heartfelt loved ones music.
That's nice.
Without really the impact of the loved ones visit.
Yeah. So they stay with Eric, and we get to hear Eric's thoughts about this.
Try to remember all the good things waiting for you now at home. Don't forget, you're one of the lucky ones. What an adventure, huh? What a story to tell.
What a story. What a story to tell.
Yep. Went to a couple of tribals. Been sitting here with Reem for several weeks. What a story.
And then I went to this island where it was just me and Joe and Reem and Aubrey and Chris Underwood. And I was going to quit. And then Chris Underwood caught a stingray. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll stick it out. And then a bunch of other people came. And then we got these letters.
Is Eric struggling like at bedtime? Everything is like, what a story am I going to tell my kids? Like, I'm just here to get some entertaining content for
Eric
the kids.
Eric is like a storyteller.
But this story, I think, will be sending his kids to sleep. Because it's not been a super entertaining game for Eric.
Not that exciting. Okay. Shannon, any other thoughts on The Edge or this week?
Well, this week, I feel like my hottest take, I'm not married to it, and I feel like I'll be immediately proven wrong next
week. We want
your
lukewarm takes. Those are the hottest takes.
I don't know if I've ever been lukewarm before, but maybe, as I said, this is what the new hot takes are. I'm not 100% sure that they were going to be voting for Aurora going into Tribal Council. I know that is the pervading thought in the podcast community, and I definitely see why. When I first watched the episode, that's not what I got from it, so I rewatched it, and I still kind of feel like, for me, maybe what happened is that Gavin and Victoria, like, it seems like it was Victoria's decision. She didn't seem to even be kind of considering it. She seemed, if anything, it was like she didn't trust Lauren, so that made it even worse. Like, that would make her want to get rid of Julie even more. As you said, probably should have been Lauren, but it really didn't seem like she was considering it. It seems like she's quite close to Aurora, and I don't know why Gavin wouldn't go with her. But I feel like, for me, maybe what happened is once there was a 0.5% chance that Rick was going to be playing the idol on Julie, it was kind of like when the three Migos were like, we'll vote for Philip, and everyone was like, that's fine, might as well. So they voted for Philip anyway. Like, I feel like they didn't care that much about keeping her in, so might as well, but they, you know, maybe weren't going into tribal doing it. And I know that there wasn't whispering and stuff, but when it's such a met decision to them, maybe it just does take a couple of looks to be like, whatever, let's just follow through on this plan we kind of already had, weren't going to do, but now might as well.
Rob, I really liked your take on know-it-alls on this.
Oh,
though,
please go on, Jordan.
Where you and Steven both said that that Lauren would have been the right vote here. I mean, you get rid of Aurora, and I guess the reason they threw out is that she is good at the immunity challenges. But if you really need somebody to beat Rick Devens at an immunity challenge, wouldn't you want Aurora there who could potentially beat him? And then I think from everything at least that we've seen on the edit in the show, is Aurora really a threat to win the game at the end? To me, she seems like someone who might go to the end and get no votes, where Lauren, besides Rick Devens, who has, like, obviously, you know, she, I think he has the attention of the jury. I think if he gets to the end, he's probably going to win. But Lauren is someone who still has a great story of coming back from, like, the Mana / Lesu Alliance and getting in with the Kama people and getting all the way to the end if she potentially gets there. So to me, she was the more dangerous player at the end and the person who has less of a chance to beat Rick Devens in a challenge.
Yeah, I really did not like how this night unfolded for Victoria, most of all. And I've gone back and looked at this a couple different times, Shannon, where it's like that Rick talks to Julie and Rick says he wants to keep Julie in the game. Julie talks to Lauren and gets Lauren on board. Okay, I want to keep you in the game. And Lauren says, oh, well, let me go talk to Gavin. And she's like, hey, what do you think if we vote out Aurora? Because she's a bigger threat than Julie is. And Gavin says, well, I want to run it past Vic. And Lauren tells Gavin, hey, I'll do it, you know, or let's do it whether or not Victoria wants to do it. And Gavin told Victoria this information that, hey, Lauren wants to do this plan, whether you're on board or not. And I can't imagine that this is a good omen for Victoria. And while it might have been tough to get Lauren on board to vote out Julie at that tribal council, I just wonder if Gavin and Victoria and Aurora stuck to their guns and it was a 3-3 vote, would people go to rocks for Lauren on the other side? Would Julie go to rocks for Lauren?
Or, well, I don't think so. I don't know why she
I
would.
I think would Julie go to rocks? I don't think so.
So either they could stick to their guns and, you know, put their votes on Julie, whether or not Lauren was on board, or put their votes on Lauren, which would be blindsiding her without an idol. And in that case, would Julie go to rocks for Lauren or vice versa?
Would it still be rocks? Because didn't Rick Devens thinks that Aurora is going home. Like, Rick Devens wouldn't know the plan. If Gavin, Victoria, and Aurora put their votes on Lauren, Devens still puts their votes on Aubrey, then Lauren is voting, you know, who did Lauren vote for? Julie?
Well, no, Lauren, you need to get the white
board. Yeah, it would still be 3 votes on Aurora and 3 votes on Lauren at that point.
Oh, okay.
So
no one is going to rocks for each other in the 6th, except maybe Gavin and Victoria. Like, I think that that's why I think that they went in wanting to vote for Julie, because I think that Victoria said, no, let's vote for Julie. So Lauren wasn't going to go to rocks. But then again, once there was a tiny threat of an idol, it was like, okay, well, let's just change back to an idea that
let's
we had.
Just
anyway.
Play it safe.
Maybe
be scared.
Is to try to get is to like tell Julie Lauren's targeting you. Maybe see if Julie would vote with you against Lauren.
Yeah, but I'm not
going to
believe that. They seem like they have a bond, Julie and Lauren. So I don't think she's going to buy that she's actually targeting you. So I think there's a couple different ways that you could have done it, but I just think that they folded and they're playing scared, Shannon, and that's not how you win Survivor.
Well, I did think that one of the reasons I thought that they went in wanting to vote for Julie was because I did agree with you that the Aurora move really wasn't a good move, and I would expect more of Victoria and I guess Gavin, who's on the show and I know a lot about what he's doing. I would expect that. So I kind of thought, yeah, it was more maybe playing a tiny bit scared and not really caring either way than going in with a plan that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, they're scared that Aurora can make fire. Like, you need that. Someone needs to beat Rick Devens, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And also, keeping Julie in the game, I don't think is a good thing. People are openly saying they want to take her to the end. That's your spot. If it's a final four of Aurora, Lauren, Gavin, and Victoria, right. I feel like everyone must be on somewhat even footing, so everyone has a fair enough shot at it rather than someone being taken to the end and that's a spot gone. Like, I feel like those four would do well with each other.
Somebody's about to win the fire making challenge and now take Julie to the end in your spot and you're going to be, odd man out.
Exactly. Like, that's threatening now, and especially the fact that Lauren has said she wants to do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you guys ready to talk about some social media?
Always.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the week in social media. Here is the great Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They're important, even vital. In the time it took to say that, Devens found another idol. Tweets.
Okay.
I'm so shocked that was about Rick. Really. And we won't be talking about him in this segment, right?
We'll talk a little bit about Rick Devens.
This is the social media segment. No one's talking about Rick on social media. I think we'll be okay.
I do have a question before we start.
Yes.
Is there one tweet about Gavin in this segment?
Do I have a tweet about Gavin in this segment?
Just one tweet about Gavin.
What about a tweet from Gavin? Would we take that?
That counts.
Would we take that?
Yeah. I mean, if the only one tweeting about Gavin is Gavin, I feel like that's maybe worse, but...
Yeah. All right. We'll see if I can find one. If I find anything pertaining to Gavin on Twitter, I'll give it to you. Okay.
It is easier to find idols on Survivor than to find tweets about Gavin. That's what we thought.
That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at what's going on with this cast and everything going on. And we found out this week that Aurora McCreary tweeted, "How my mind automatically reads the I was rooting for you messages," and she has like the scared face emoji.
Okay.
Is the problem there that it was past tense? I was rooting for you?
I feel like I saw this tweet and there's a gif in there somewhere where it's like the Tyra Banks thing of like, "I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you."
Okay. Reem Daly had a tweet. She tweeted, "Happy to be in my own bed and warm tonight. Sweet dreams, Edge of Extinction gang. You exceeded my limit of trying to tag you all. At Survivor CBS, at Jeff Probst." Shout out to all of the friends from Extinction.
Rob, I do have to say that my worst moment on Twitter was about Reem.
Yes.
Just tweeting about, and... It wasn't a mean tweet about Reem. It was about...
And Farm Guy 69 jumped in.
Yes. Oh my God. Dale Wentworth and Reem Daly were having a freaking fight in the replies to the tweet. I was wanted to hide under a rock. Then it got mentioned on Twist and I was like, when can this be over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
Dale Wentworth is a lot in my mentions, actually. For someone who doesn't follow me, like... Anyway.
You're tweeting things that are creating content for the podcast, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Okay.
You were one of the MVPs. You weren't even on the podcast that week, but you were one of the MVPs of the social media segment.
Mm. So it seems as though the Survivor alumni have come out in support of Rick Devens. And we have a lot of tweets, pro-Rick Devens tweets, from the Survivor alumni. Dominic Abate said, "Why would everybody left in the game except Julie bow down to at Rick Devens WGXA's gameplay in front of the jury the way that they did? Made Rick's job a lot easier. Nothing like making other people making the case for you."
I feel like Dom maybe plays in that same like aggressive way as Rick, so... I think he would probably appreciate, like, I really enjoyed the move from Rick at Tribal Council. I thought that was his best move in the game. Obviously, I think it actually had some effect, which no one else thinks. So I feel like that's the kind of bluff that Dominic Abate would definitely value. I mean, he did something very similar, but mm-hmm. also probably more impressive.
Yeah. You know, it's looking back at the Ghost Island, I wonder, you know, if Dominic would have been the winner of the season instead of Wendell, how that would have factored into all of this. If Dominic would have been maybe either criticized in the way that Rick Devens won, or if it would be Rick Devens would be sort of more in that lineage.
Well, Dominic Abate was vulnerable at the final six, which for a winner would be crazy at this point, as I've said, and he got through that in a really, really interesting way. So if Dominic had won, he would have kind of bucked the trend recently of having to be immune to stay in the game. So he would be like the most old school winner that we have at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Figgy, hashtag Figgy, came to the defense of Rick Devens. She said, "Internet, stop hating on Devens and how hard he is playing. Rigged? How? What I see is someone staying up all day and night to find idols, hours on hours, and it paid off. His gameplay is the best of the remaining players, most deserving of the million, in my opinion." Fire emoji, palm tree emoji.
He was all over Twitter this week. I went to her profile and I noticed her pinned tweet is about the Zeke and Jeff Varner situation.
Ooh.
So see, from me to you.
Well, currently,
move on.
Currently, the pinned tweet is that past Rick Devens tweet.
Oh, wow. So she finally changed it. But I don't think that she changed it recently to the Varna tweet. So I feel like she's probably had it up for over 2 years. And this is finally what made her change it. And for that, I am grateful. Like, I would much rather this was a pinned tweet.
Yeah. But really, Figgy is, you know, standing in the lion's den, taking on the haters. She said, I love you all, but some of you are not respecting the players. She puts it, the S in parentheses, because you can't get with the theme this season. They have the opportunity to win their way back in the game, whether you like it or not. It is what it is. Don't hate the player. Hate the theme. Fire emoji, palm tree emoji.
We do hate the theme. That's the whole point.
I think her better point was potentially about, you know, being the one out looking for the idols. Not that everyone else is not looking for the idols. I'm sure they are. We're only seeing, you know, when something happens. We're not going to just see, you know, random, you know, people looking around for the idol when we know that Devin's already has it, because it doesn't really make for great TV. But look, I mean, finding an idol is a skill. It isn't my favorite part of Survivor. I prefer the strategic element of the game, but it is something that you can do in the game to help you win. I mean, you have to look at the constraints of the game. Rick Devins is finding idols, and I think the other players should maybe be doing a better job tailing him. But like, I believe Christian was the one who said it on the on his recap podcast. You know, Devins could see an idol if someone's tailing him, and then go back for it once he's not being watched. But I think that point is better than the you know looking at the theme, because I think, you know, people coming back into the game from Extinction Island, maybe it's a losing battle on Twitter. You're talking about that.
And while Figgy was certainly getting some pushback, almost 2,000 likes for her tweet defending
no
Rick Devins.
No wonder she pinned it.
Yes.
How many likes did the Varna tweet get?
I'd have to go back. Jeff Varner, popular guy on social media these days. Hannah Shapiro, she had a very popular tweet herself this week. She tweeted, I'm not over dramatic. Also me, I shall read this letter to myself in the middle of the sea, with a picture of Chris Underwood and reading his letter, which received over 1,000 likes. Hannah tweeted, 1,000 likes. So many people I'd like to thank. Survivor Chris for his amazing ability to walk through water without getting his letter wet. Whatever producer encouraged Chris to climb atop a cliff in the middle of the ocean, and you for liking it, and at Jeff Probst for his courage.
Yeah, this was an amazing tweet. Also because I did feel like it was so funny that Chris was just in the middle of the ocean, like, I didn't play a perfect game. Like, dude, you didn't even play a good game or an okay game. I mean, you got voted out third. So, like, that's what he keeps coming back to. Like, I just wanted to play a perfect game. Like, let's go in levels. Let's start at the bottom of the ladder and work our way up to perfect.
Play a good game first.
Yes, play a fine game first.
Yeah, he could come back in, win every challenge, and win the game, and it's still not even close to a perfect game.
I do think he's in contention to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's like,
I
mean, when a pitcher gives up like 12 hits and 7 runs, but his team happens to score 8 runs. It's a win, but it's not a perfect game. Not even close.
Hold on, that we have some breaking news.
Dun 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 dun.
We have a mention about Gavin on Twitter.
Whoa. From Gavin? Yep.
Yes. Okay.
The Gavin that's on Survivor?
Yes. Bryce Isaiah tweeted out, okay, okay, okay. But again, is it me or is Gavin in them shorts trying out for the hashtag 2020 Zaddy calendar? Eyeballs, laughing, hashtag what you looking for, hashtag Survivor Edge of Extinction, hashtag Survivor.
What is he looking for?
And Aurora tweeted a picture of Tyler Oakley with a pineapple. Says, this feels so like sensual.
What is happening? What is that?
Yes. that.
That's not the Gavin mention I wanted.
Yes. Okay. Alexis Maxwell also tweeted out a rebuttal to the hashtag Figgy position. She said, I don't love when the same person gets the idol more than once. Just a personal viewer opinion. Shannon, would you like to see an Alexis Maxwell rule instituted where an idol can only be played on a player one time per season?
No, that is not the way to solve this. Like, that is, there's a lot of issues with that.
Yeah.
I feel like Alexis Maxwell, she's kind of like tweeting I guess, into the void? Like, does she know that there are discussions going on, or is she just giving, like, these cold takes without knowing the greater discussion that is going on?
She's a second person. She listens to this every single week.
Does she really?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, if she does, hi, Alexis. But anyway, I think it would be a bad rule. I think the way to fix this is just not to put as many idols in the game as they're currently putting in.
No, that's way too easy.
If you find it, you should be able to play it on whoever you want.
They'll put in 10 nullifiers before they just stop putting idols in, Jordan. Come on.
They shouldn't stop putting idols. I just think they put too many.
Too many.
Yeah.
Too many idols.
That's an Alexis Maxwell take.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Jervis tweeted out, @SayJerv, if I wrote a letter to myself, it would have said, if you're reading this, that means you effed up. #Survivor. Okay. Then the great Peridium, a YouTuber extraordinaire, YouTubing about all sorts of things about Survivor and Big Brother and The Amazing Race. I watch those in my garage sometimes that he tweeted. Fun fact, Natalie White and Goofy Gal hold the record for surviving the most tribal councils in a single season at 15. Right now, @Lolly_Alexandra is on track to break that record as she's currently at 13. If she reaches the final three, she will set a new record, Shannon.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's massive. And I think it speaks to the fact that there are so many tribal councils, unless it was so terrible.
Yeah. Also, Pridium says, that said, if she reaches the final four, she'll set the record for attending the most tribal councils in the single season. But if @RickDevins, WGXA, reaches the final three, he'll tie the record for most tribal councils attended, unless he's next to Lauren. History is getting made here.
History is getting made. It speaks to the influence this podcast has in my life that when I read that tweet, that's actually how I read it.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Baylor Wilson, who is engaged.
Oh.
Congratulations. Yes. Congratulations to Baylor.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
No, I will not. I will not.
Who's going to just show up to her wedding?
I don't know. Nobody should just show up, only if you're invited.
And we'll just show up.
Yeah.
That would be a very rude thing to do to a wedding.
Be very, very rude to do. Okay. Let's see. I got a couple of other, some news items. I don't know if I'd call this, breaking news, but did you see that Survivor's Colby Donaldson will be hosting a brand new reality show, Shannon?
Is he hosting Survivor? Like, what is happening?
No, that he is going to be the host of a new show. Jordan, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, about steaks, right?
Okay, I was going to give you a quiz. Yes, The Butcher is the name of the show.
I ruined the game, I'm sorry.
The Butcher. Yes, it is The Butcher, where it's going to be similar to the show Chopped on the History Channel. And The Butcher is going to have contestants doing all sorts of meat-based challenges.
Meat-cute?
Yes, the show is literally called The Butcher.
I know.
Yeah, I had thought that Survivor would be the worst show for me to ever go on, but as a vegetarian, I feel like The Butcher would that sounds like my actual nightmare.
Yeah, I don't think you would do too well.
That's
on
terrible
The Butcher
to me
as a vegetarian. I saw this on Facebook somewhere, and I had actually I don't remember where I did this, if it was Twitter or Facebook, but it was the Butcher with Colby Donaldson. I said the tagline of the show should be "I ain't no porterhouse."
Yes. Well done. This was the log line as told to Reality Blurred. Throughout history, the skilled craft. Also, I'll read this as Colby. This will be the opening of the show. Throughout history, the skilled craft of the butcher has been essential for human survival. In early civilizations, when foodborne diseases were claiming lives, it was the butcher with their precise tools and keen skills who warded off death. This virtual craftsman became a fixture in every town across America. Today, there are thousands of people who continue this noble tradition, but only a select few with the right expertise can be considered a master butcher and go full tilt. I only know one way to chop meat, and that's full tilt. There you go.
I feel like this show is an affront to who I am as a person, so...
Okay.
It's terrible for me.
All right. The big Survivor finale is coming up on Wednesday night. And the Survivor Facebook page decided to, as a way to get the fans more involved with everything that was going on, they reached out to the viewers of Survivor who are following the Survivor Facebook page and asked them if they had any other questions that they would like to see asked of this cast on this Wednesday night's finale.
How will we have time for that?
Yeah, well,
what questions are we getting to?
So we have fielded questions, and I have gone through and looked for questions submitted to the Survivor Facebook page. The Survivor Facebook page asked on May 9th, have a question for one of the castaways? It's your time to shine. Comment below for a chance to have your question answered on finale night. So no promises here, Jordan.
All right. But who do you want to ask a question to?
Okay. So I have a bunch of real ones and one fake one.
Okay.
One fake one. Okay. So, all right. Let me give you all of them and then I'll ask you both where was the fake one? You don't have to respond to every single one. Okay. All right. Number one, a person wrote Reem dot, dot, dot. How many career souls have you crushed? !
What is Dale Wentworth doing on the Facebook page?
Another person wrote, Joe, will you be in the next Pirates of the Caribbean? Johnny Depp needs a replacement.
Ooh.
Okay.
Another
person wanted this question answered on the finale. Is toilet paper provided or do you bring your own?
Okay.
We have another user wanted to know, my question is, why do you keep bringing on these little crybabies? Good Lord.
Okay.
Another person wanted to know, why do you always rush the endings? Shannon, what does this mean?
I think I left that comment. I guess what they mean is that there's going to be
of the season or the episode.
People? I mean, I would have to think the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that actually is a pretty good take for the Facebook page. Maybe that's fake. I'm going to write that in my
I interpreted it as the episodes are rushed at the end.
I think Shannon is right here. Okay. I think it's like the final episode of the season is always like six people, which is just always feels a little bit rushed.
Okay. Another person wanted to know, OMG, how tall is Lauren? ? Next up, another person wanted to ask, Reem, if Playboy magazine approached you for an interview / pictorial, would you entertain that?
Is this Bryce? Like,
next up, somebody asked, Devins, do you see a career in the news industry after Survivor? Is he just like a passionate news viewer that's on the show? That
it could also be the made up one.
Okay. Next up, a person asked, the lady who got out first, why so bitter? Do you think that's one of the reasons why you were voted out in the first place? Boy, Dale is busy on that Facebook page, yeah. Right?
unnecessary going after Reem like that.
And finally, somebody asked, Rick, what the heck does La Cheesery mean? Okay. All right. Shannon, do you have any thoughts on which one of these was not a real comment left on the Facebook page and was actually one of Alexis Maxwell's tweets?
Oh, one of Alexis. Okay. See, I was waiting for the Gavin comment because I was going to say that was fake. I feel like Alexis Maxwell being so unplugged from the community might ask like what Lachizari means. So I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. All right. D-school-ish. Cool.
I thought that the toilet paper one was going to be the fake one, but Alexis Maxwell's been on Survivor, so I don't know why she would be asking that question. So that was the one that was in my head. However, I'm not going to ask you to reread all of them. I guess I'll also go No, it's boring if I go lecheesery. Let me go with the what was the Ream one?
Ream, if Playboy magazine approached you for an interview / pictorial, would you entertain that?
Yeah, I'll go that's what Alexis Maxwell
that's what Alexis
Ream.
Maxwell was
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, no. Let's go with that.
Nope, that was some dude.
Oh, no, I'm so sad it was a man.
Yes, it was a guy. I won't dox him, so yeah.
Oh hell no.
Yeah. I heard that in a while.
Yes. Shannon, I'm sorry to say that you too.
Oops.
Yeah, that is not
what?
Right. That was an actual question. The Alexis Maxwell tweet was OMG, how tall is Lauren?
Ah. I can see that. That makes more sense than the one that I answered.
Yeah.
See, before I realized that the fake one was an Alexis Maxwell tweet, I thought it was a toilet paper one because I'm pretty sure I've either heard you say this or other survivors have said this, where that's like a question that they get a lot after they
Common
come off
question.
The show. So I thought that was
that's
maybe
how
the
you know it's real
one.
Though. Yeah. Like, that definitely would be a question.
Yeah, that definitely is real. It's a real question. Okay. And I do have a Alexis Maxwell Gavin tweet for you.
Okay. This is everything combined into one.
Yeah. She said, woo, go Gavin.
This is good commentary.
So, yes.
I'm pretty happy about that.
That's more of a woo tweet than a Gavin.
Yeah, there you go.
And she played with woo, so maybe, yeah.
Maybe she knew it. Okay. All right. Let me take a moment and thank a sponsor before we get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz coming up. And while we're talking about the survivors, do they get toilet paper? Another common question is, do you get a toothbrush? And the answer to that, sadly, is no. But it doesn't have to be for you, because the people over at Quip are reminding you, hey, it's time for spring cleaning, and Quip's got an easy way to start with your brushing habits. Just 2 minutes twice a day can help pave the way for a healthier mouth and mind. And now you can get the whole family refreshed with a Quip, with the new Kids Quip, with the same 2 minute timer and guiding pulses as the original version, with no childish gimmicks, so you can brush like a grown up. Listen, I love my Quip. It's really fancy, feels very futuristic in your hand. It has the vibrating bristles, which then there's a little pulse every 30 seconds that tells you to move on to the next quadrant. So you know that you are making sure you're hitting every area in your mouth, the sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums, because sometimes people are brushing too hard and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. With the multi-use cover that works as a stand and it sticks to your mirror, the Quip is going to be a great addition to any bathroom and takes up no valuable counter space. Up to 90% of people don't brush for a full 2 minutes or even clean evenly. The Quip gets rid of that clunky charger. It's got a battery that runs 3 months on a single charge, and it's got brush heads that are automatically delivered, much like survivors' letters from themselves, on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. What? 75% of us are using old, worn out bristles that are lame and ineffective. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. That's why they're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals and have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. So you know why I love the Quip. That's why you should check it out too. Over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Rob, you can get your first refill pack for free. So head on over to getquip, that's Q-U-I-P, getquip.com/Rob, and get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack at getquip.com/Rob. All right, let's play some Twish.
Twish.
Okay, all right. Final Twish of the regular season here, Jordan. Are you ready?
I am ready to go. I have my categories. I'm not going to go over the rules because Shannon Gates has been here before. Just a new rule that we've added since. Of course, you can use your Serif fields or any of your voice-enabled devices. It has not gotten to question right this season. Apparently, Kirk Clark said that on one of the questions that he was playing along at home, it actually did get it right, but it hasn't happened on the podcast, okay. So it's not canon. So
somebody Shannon, is going to have that record.
Well, yes, I do have a suggestion.
It'll be fun when it happens.
Yes.
Next season, I feel like the phone of friends. I feel like every RHAP host has like a casual parent. I would love to see. If,
oh,
like, my
call
dad
your
do that
casual parent.
Call a casual. Yeah. Call a casual.
Well, casual like relative, it. Maybe. Like, yeah. I mean, yesterday my dad told me he was rooting for Nevins, and then I said Nevins, and then he said, "What did I say?" So yeah. I would like to see if my dad could do better than Siri. I think yeah, that's
like
a good phone friend.
The Yankees third base coach.
Just like that. There's great thread in the patron Facebook group that I think it was maybe was it Jessica Frey who started it about like interview your casual relatives about Survivor and some great takes.
Yeah, I believe I posted in there. My mom texted me before the season. We do a survivor pool every year where you get one person. If the person wins, you win the pool. So she and my mom, who's not a casual, she's watched every episode of Survivor. She listens to the podcast, but she was a little bit confused at the beginning of the season because she told me that she had Malcolm in the pool, and I texted her and said, "You mean Joe?" And of course, it was Joe.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jordan, can you set up where we're at right now?
Yes, I'm going to read you the four categories. Like I said, not doing the rules this time. The categories are non-transferable, car curse, hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar, and Wiggler's ghostly bookend.
Ooh, okay.
And Shannon, as the guest, you get to choose first.
It pains me to say this because I hate it so much, but I think I feel like I could do game changers, so give me non-transferable. Ooh.
Okay, non-transferable. We, of course, are going to Survivor Game Changers. The episode is Parting is Such Sweet Sorrow from May 17th, 2017, 2 years ago Friday. After it was revealed that Sarah's vote steal was non-transferable when Sari tried to use it on Sarah, whose vote did Sarah end up stealing at the final seven tribal council?
Okay, I need to think about this because I was pretty sure I was yelling at the TV at the time. She stole... So Michaela went home, and she stole Ty's vote.
Michaela went home. She did steal Ty's vote. So great start, Shannon. You get 2 points there. And Rob, you get to choose the next category.
Okay. Could you repeat the categories one more time?
Sure. We have Car Curse, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar, and Wiggler's Ghostly Bookend.
I'll do Wiggler's Ghostly Bookend.
Okay, so we're going to go to Ghost Island, Always Be Moving, from May 16th, 2018, 1 year ago Thursday. So we know that Wiggler is Ghost Zero. But not including the trip that the final four made to Ghost Island in order for Dominic to choose the final Tribal Council voting urn, who was the last person sent to Ghost Island and therefore got to play the final game of chance of the season at the final seven?
Well... learning from my mistake last week when I went to the multiple choice and didn't try to make big moves, it ended up costing me the game because Liana never gave me an inch to be able to make up any ground. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my gut of who I think it is. And I'm going to say it's Seabass.
Seabass. So Seabass is correct. It's good you went with your gut. You get 2 points. Do you remember what the advantage was? And this is not
I think he got
that,
the vote steal that Kellen had misplayed.
He got an advantage from his own season that was originally from another season. Yes, he did get that. Good job, Rob. You get 2 points there. And it is Shannon's turn again. We have Car Curse and we have Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar.
I feel like I'm okay. I'll go. The hit me with your best shot. I don't know what that could be. So I'll go with Car Curse and just try my hand at Fiji.
Okay. We're going to go to Marquesas though. A Tale of Two Cities from May 16th, 2002, 17 years ago.
Good noise or bad noise?
A very bad noise. I don't want Marquesas.
So 17 years ago this Thursday, who won the car reward in Marquesas, taking home a Saturn View, which fun fact is a car formerly driven by your boy D. Skulish.
You had a Saturn View.
I had a Saturn View. It was a 2005 Saturn View. I bought it like well after 2005.
Okay.
Who won the car? Well,
who won the car in Marquesas?
I'm guessing. I'm also making big moves. I should know this off the top of my head. I think it was Sean Rector.
Sean Rector, you guys are going with your gut, and your guts have been right so far. You get 2 points here. Yeah, Sean Rector wins the car and goes home in this episode.
But a note
trolling
that
with that question.
The entire cast got the Saturn view at the reunion.
Yes, but I don't think that doesn't count for the car, Chris.
I don't know. I was in Boston Rob's Saturn view one time.
All right. Well, yeah, Boston Rob, and he's been attached to some people like someone like Amber, who didn't have to win the car challenge and still won the car. So I think the car curse only applies if you win the car reward challenge.
Okay.
But Shannon, you have a 4-2 lead. Rob, we're going to the final question here. Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar. We are going to Survivor Token Sheens, one of my favorite episodes ever, The Martyr Approach from May 14th, 2009, 10 years ago Tuesday. Who sent Coach to Exile Island leading to his legendary Martyr Approach scene?
So I gotta keep this close. I think it's JT.
Rob, it is JT.
Yeah.
So you get 2 points there. So we are tied here at 4. We are perfect through the multiple choice part of this game. Of course, we are now going to go to the
on people that
match.
Are too good. I don't have any room for error.
Yeah. Well, look, it's not fun if
no wiggle room.
No wiggle room. It's not fun if I'm bringing in people and you're just like destroying them every week. So this is good.
Fun for me.
Go to the death match. Yeah, the deathmatch game is called One Both or Neither Finale Edition. This is a game we have played before. I don't know if we've done it this season, but we've definitely done it in the past. I will make a statement relating to final tribal councils from this week in Survivor history. You will then be given 4 potential options: one season, another season, both of these seasons, or neither of these seasons. You must answer based on if the statement applies to one of the specific seasons, both or neither. For example, if the statement was Richard Hatch received the majority of the jury votes and the choices were just Borneo, just Guatemala, both or neither, the answer would obviously be just Borneo. However, if the statement was the person who won the season lost the final immunity challenge, the answer would be both. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points. Okay, do you guys get it? Do you guys get the game?
Yes. Did you say what the seasons are? Yeah.
I'm going to read you the statement, and then I'm going to tell you the seasons that apply to the specific statement. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, I have 6 of these. So Shannon, since we're tied, you're the guest. You get to go first. Pick a number from 1 through 6.
3.
Okay, so we're going to start with this one. The winner received 5 jury votes, and the second place player received 2 jury votes. Your options are Exile Island, Koh Rang, both, or neither. The winner received 5 jury votes, and the second place player received 2 jury votes.
I'm trying to think. It's definitely so. Okay. What were the 2 seasons?
If I may, just interject here, too confusing. It should be the seasons should be the same every single round, and then the facts should be different for each round.
This
conversation about the difficulty of the question is throwing me off.
Okay, sorry.
I don't think this is
interesting. The 2 seasons that we have are Exile Island and Koh Rang. So it's one of those, both, or neither.
Oh my god, I feel like this is just so hard under pressure. Before we started this, Jordan told me that I could be the only 2-time loser who's never won. I don't know, I'm very pressurized. How many votes did Danielle get? It's just Koh Rang.
The answer, unfortunately, is both. Exile Islands was a 5-2 vote. It was Bruce and Shane.
Unless if somebody's
Danielle
driving,
there.
Forget it. Like, you need like a pen and paper for this
question.
Want
easy questions. Look, you guys were just saying how strong the competitors are.
I want people to be able to play along at home.
I think they could play along at home if they've memorized Wikipedia like me. But here's
Rob,
you still have to get a question right here in order to win.
Okay.
And the question that we have, the jury included at least one medevaced player. Koh Rang, Token Sheens, both or neither. The jury included at least one medevaced player.
And what are the seasons?
Koh Rang, Token Sheens, both or neither.
I would say that they both had that.
Nope. The answer is co-wrong.
What a ride.
Joe Dowdle was not on the jury in Survivor Choking Chains.
He wasn't?
Nope.
Why?
Seven-person jury, because he was in 10th place. It was a seven-person jury with the final two.
Okay.
So you're both in it. You're both still in it. And we go to Shannon.
I'm surprised
here.
You didn't know that Steven lost 0-7. Like, I feel like you should have that.
But
story.
I don't know how many people were on the season. So I just thought that would be another person that wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah. Shame. Poor Steven.
Yeah. So tough game so far. But you're both still in. So this is exciting. Shannon, each player in the final three received at least one vote at Final Tribal between
I was just having this thought. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll read it again. Each player in the final three received at least one vote at Final Tribal. One World, Karamoan, both, or neither?
Just One World?
One World is incorrect. Chelsea Meisner, zero vote finalist. The answer is neither. So you're incorrect here. Still no one right on this. And Rob, you could win it here. You could win it with a correct answer on this question.
Okay.
The second place player received exactly one jury vote. Redemption Island, Palau, both, or neither?
One jury vote. I'll say it was both.
Damn it.
So in Redemption Island, Philip Shepherd received one jury vote, of course, from the great Ralph Kaiser. And in Palau, Kobe Archer was the one jury vote for Katie. So the answer is both. You are correct, and you win 5-4.
Oh, my God. What is my legacy? Survivor Trivia is... It's all I have, and now I'm the only two-time loser who's never won.
Shannon, but read the letter that you wrote to yourself before you came on today.
The letter's telling me that I can't do this, I suck, and I'm the worst. I told you I wouldn't want to hear from myself.
You're not a loser. It was a very, very confusing final round, Shannon.
Tough final round, but I will say I do test these questions on people, and there were... Not saying that you guys did badly, but the people I tested on maybe a few more correct answers than you guys.
Okay, maybe the listeners feel differently, but I do feel like that there should be one in writing these questions that I think
I have to write six questions about two seasons. That's not easy to do. I have to find all these different like things that distinguish that.
Like, I think that it should be okay. Here are these seasons. Is this one or both or neither about these? And then the fact is the only thing that changes, not the seasons. Also,
I'll look into that for future seasons. Maybe the
listeners are like, "Hey, Rob, this is perfect.
I think it's going to be split. I think that some of the listeners will be confused.
Yes, young Rick Devins
will enjoy.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Look, as the loser, I do think. It was fine. I think that if I was sitting at home, it would have been fine. I think the pressure got to me, and I still think I reserve the right to have called my dad in and asked him if the votes were 5-2 in Panama and in Korong, both or neither. Like, okay. I should have had that opportunity.
Would your dad have known the answer to this question?
My dad would have been like, Panama? Korong?
Okay.
Where are we?
All right.
He would have had a 1-4 chance of being right.
Shannon, who's going to be the winner of the season on Wednesday?
Gavin.
Gavin.
Rick Devins.
Rick Devins. Okay. Is Sia going to be in attendance on Wednesday night? And will she award a player the Sia check?
Yeah, you asked me because I'm Australian. Like, I should know where all Australians are at
all
times.
Yes.
I didn't even know Sia was Australian.
Yeah. Well, I think that what will happen is they'll crown the winner after the longest finale of all time. I mean, they have so many jury questions to get through, and it's basically, I mean, it's not questions anymore. The whole tribal council will just be a ream. That's like the one thing about the new final tribal format. Then there will be time for 5 minutes of reunion, and four of it will be given to Sia. That's what I think.
Four will be given to Sia. And Sia will present the check to Big Wendy?
To Rick Devins.
Okay. Should we check? Does Sia have tour dates? Can we look ahead on this? Let's see. Sia.
The contestants should look ahead on this before they go on the show, so they know whether they should play for the money. Like,
Sia it could be like the Davey. It could be the Davey situation where she gives the money but isn't actually at the reunion.
Mm. Okay, so upcoming Sia concerts, is Sia on tour? So this is like the upcoming concerts are Friday, Friday, July 26th to Friday, July 28th. So it does not seem as though there is anything imminent in terms of Sia concert dates.
Let me just text her in the massive group thread that us all Australians have and be like, Sia, where are you at on Thursday?
Yes, find
when
out about
finale
that.
Finale is for us.
Okay. So potentially Sia is in the mix, and so much still to do for a Wednesday night's finale. Any other predictions or anything you want to throw out there, Shannon?
I feel like I don't know. I'm just reading this letter to myself. It's just so mean. Like, now I just proved myself right, like, that I couldn't do this.
Jordan, do you have any predictions for Wednesday night?
Older, mature Kalish wins.
Okay. Who's in the final three with him?
Final three is going to be Rick Devins, Julie.
Was that Wardog?
And yes, but if not Wardog, I don't think Wardog. I would like. I mean, that'd be fun if Wardog was in the final three, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I was asking, was that your Wardog voice?
That was. Was it okay. Not good?
No, it's fine.
You knew who it was.
I thought it was Tony.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, a similar voice. I'm going to go Devins, Julie, and Lauren.
Okay, Devins, Julie, Lauren. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I had Devins, Julie, Lauren, and then some form of Gavin and Victoria, and then Edge of Extinction going right home as they go back in. That would be my full prediction.
I think that's the chalk for Wednesday night. That's the conventional wisdom. But look, it'll be exciting if anything breaks from form.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I like Rick Devins. I'm a fan of his. I mean, I've been on record here saying that I think that strategically, Victoria, I believe, is playing the best game. She's been in on every single vote, even though I think that not getting rid of Lauren here was potentially a mistake. I just, you know, edit wise, it's hard to see, because if, you know, someone who has been in every vote and isn't necessarily, you know, featured in most of these episodes and is, you know, sort of been a subtle character more than a big character like Rick, I think it's going to be, it's tough for me to see that happening. But if she does, congratulations. I think she's played a fantastic strategic game. I think Rick Devins has been, the most entertaining character, and I'm rooting for him.
Okay. All right. So Shannon Gates is going to be kicking off the coverage of Survivor South Africa. The preview podcast is up with Liana Boris, and then with Mike Bloom is going to be back for the week one recap.
Yeah, I mean, you know Mike. Like, the fact that he missed the preview is like, I think it's killing him. I mean, he had a baby a week ago and he was still like, look, I don't know if I can preview 21 contestants and do the Amazing Race and do the voicemails in 1 week. And I, you know, 1 week after having a child, I was like, Mike, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really fine. But he is hoping to be back for week one and then all 17 weeks after that.
Yeah.
So we'll be having fun.
All right. So be on the lookout for that. Follow at Shannon Gates on Twitter. And Shannon, 10 out of 10 Twitter handle.
Thank you so much, Rob. I have to confess, like, it's really been stressing me out. I mean, I'm getting married at the end of the year. I'll be changing my last name. And and they're all the at Shannon Gus's, which is what I would be, Shannon Gus, are taken. I'm so worried about this. I might just not change my name. Like, honestly, just for your approval.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't
no,
be Shannon.
No, do it. Shannon, do what's right for you. Don't worry about me.
I think, okay, well, my first strategy was like, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll get everyone to mass report at Shannon Gus and just try take her handle. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like I'll just stick with Shannon Gates. I don't know. It's really hard.
I like that. That's very sneaky. I like that.
Mm.
We should do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
If you're listening
someone
to it,
pointed
let's
out to me, like,
it.
Maybe you should just ask her nicely because she hasn't tweeted in ages. Like, yeah. If you can have it. I'm like, I feel like mass reporting was where I was going. So. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Survivor Shannon is already taken by somebody.
Ugh. Maybe we should mass report that
person. What if we're able to get like the at Shannon Gus to like get in some sort of feud with the at Wardog and like they both get in trouble? I don't know. I feel like there's some way we could get both Wardog and future Shannon Gus with these handles.
Shannon, have you considered I am the Shannon Gus?
I am the Shannon Gus.
It might be too many characters.
I'm just gonna stick with Shannon Gates.
Okay.
Shannon, talking about your Twitter, who's the most recent survivor you followed on Twitter? We've already done. We've already found out the.
We actually haven't. You know, honestly, last time I was on, you didn't ask me the first survivor that I followed, and I didn't check because I was like waiting for the next time I was on this podcast. Because I'm really interested to know.
I'm scrolling down your Twitter right now.
Oh boy.
Stand by. The answer to the most recent was Kobe. Was I believe was it Kobe Archer?
I feel like he followed me, so I followed him. No, I feel like I just saw him, and then he followed me back. Anyway,
you okay, saw him.
I'm scrolling. I'm still scrolling. Just, like, you don't follow that many people. You only follow like 600 something people.
That's
I guess that's a lot. But
I'm sorry,
scrolling here. People need to know this. This is very important information.
Okay. Well, in the meantime,
how did
we
not do this the last time you were here?
I don't know.
It wasn't a thing yet. Maybe.
Did you come on before Nicodanza? I don't think so.
No. It was a thing. You just didn't ask me.
Oh,
what
an oversight, Jordan.
I've never felt more bad in my life about anything. Yeah. Oh, it was Rob. It's Rob. Malcolm was second.
Yes.
Malcolm's second.
I was going to guess like Malcolm or Cochrane because I know that it was around Karamoan. But Rob, I mean, I followed you before Malcolm. Like, that's an incredible compliment from 20-year-old me.
Rob is the first person you ever followed on Twitter, followed by Malcolm, then Taylor Swift, and then Cochrane.
Yes, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. The big four.
That sums me up as, like, that actually is who I am. Okay. And that just shows the long game I've been playing to be on this podcast to talk about that.
Well, look, I'm so excited, Shannon, that last summer was the summer of Shannon. And looks like it's going to be another repeat between all of the international Survivor coverage. So we're very excited.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. Getting to do this is the most fun I have doing anything. Last year was so much fun. And this year, I mean, between Australian Survivor, South African Survivor, it's just going to be a really good time. Please come over and why would you, if there's good Survivor out in the world, why would any Survivor fan not be watching it? Especially so accessible to the patrons. We'll be talking about it every week. So please join us in doing that.
Okay. All right. Jordan Kalish, he's also out there on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, any big plans for your summer?
Not really. I mean, I'm planning on watching Survivor South Africa. You know, hopefully, get to hang out with some Pizza and Beer Alliance patrons, play some Mafia, but nothing too crazy.
Okay, and then of course we will have one more this week in Survivor coming up next week that Jordan is working on, and when that's scheduled to drop the Monday after the finale, so a little bit of an extra long yadas.
Yes, but I think if all goes to plan, you guys will be happy with that one.
Okay. All right. So Jordan is working on a season finale edition of This Week in Survivor. Look for that the Monday or Tuesday after the finale. Thank you guys all so much for listening. We've got the Wiggle Room coming up next. We'll check in with Josh Wiggler, hear what he has to say going into the finale, and then we will get into our final regular season Wandoff. Shannon, are you retired from the Wandoff?
At this stage, I feel like I can't keep up with how amazing these people are. Like, I'm just happy listening. While I do love to do the Wandoff, like, I mean, it's just so much fun having to drop my newsfeed and seeing people do things I could never do.
You were like a legend of like the first generation of Wandoff.
Yeah, I mean, you retire a hero or become a kind of like Wandoff has been, I feel like other people have
like
kept
back
it up,
when Ben Driebergen was running wild.
I won the second ever Wandoff, which was The Whole New World. And I still feel like that's, I mean, that must be Wandoff history, right? I mean, that's something I actually won on this podcast, which apparently I can't do. And this letter is saying,
don't
really
beat yourself
to me,
up.
Stop.
Look, to be fair, it's a lot harder to win the Wandoff than Twitch. I mean, Twitch, you're going against one person. The Wandoff, you have to go against four people in the top five.
Yeah,
and I know this because I've probably come in second place like seven times at this point.
Yeah, I've also come in second a lot.
The Wandoff is like the edge of extinction, where this is just like Redemption Island. It's just a duel every week.
That's a good comparison, except I hope that this is better than Redemption Island.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And of course, thank you so much to the patrons of Rob's podcast who make all of this podcasting. I'm pretty sure that when all is said and done, this 7 days basically is going to be, I think, the most amount of recorded content that we've done about certainly this season of Survivor. I hope you guys are enjoying
RHAP Hell Week.
Yes, between 3:20 with Christian and 2 hours plus with Mike Bloom, and we're at about 90 minutes or so here today. The Wiggle Room still to come, so it's a lot. So thank you to the patrons of Rob's Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible. Find out more about everything that we're doing with our patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, our patron podcast feed is there as well, and everything else we're doing on Patreon, robitswebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.